website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to, with anticipation, your calls with your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. It is our prayer that you will join in the dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about what I believe to be eschatologically, prophetically, from the Word of God, the most important issue of the era. Standing with Israel. Are you standing with Israel? Should America stand with Israel? Should the students at Harvard University stand with Israel? How about Columbia University? And the other major universities and educational centers, prestigious universities and educational centers across America. What about their demonstration in the street? Screaming death to the Jew, Holocaust for the Jew, burn the Jews, push the Jews into the sea. How does that affect you? What are your thoughts about that? We won't hear from you today. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831. That's 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Do you stand with Israel? Why? What does the Bible say? How do you understand the end times? Well, let me ask a more pertinent, penetrating question. Across the world, with about 1.5 billion Islamic people, why do they want to kill the Jews? What's the motivation? Why Hamas? Why Hezbollah? Why is Iran and what they're doing involving in paying for and buying terrorists around the globe? What's the goal? What motivates the Islamic person from childhood, from birth, from his training? What motivates that Islamic person to have a desire to kill the Jews? What's the reward? What's the goal? What's the benefit? We're going to talk about that today. And I believe much of what I'll say today, many of you have never heard, have no earthly idea of the bottom line motivation for the Islamic jihadist to operate in the world as they do today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the Bible. Back in Vacation Bible School and Sunday School of yesteryear, we'd sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples made this statement: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement, thy word is truth. And then in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. If the truth of the Lord endures forever, and it does, and if the scripture says that in the last days, and I'll read that text later, in the last days, every nation is going to be against the nation of Israel. If the scripture says that Ishmael's seed, that's his, those that are in the world today that are Islamic, will be hated of all men and will be a wild man. If that is the case, and if that's what the scripture says, and it does, should we believe it? Absolutely, unequivocally. And that's where we're going in this broadcast today. I urge you to listen carefully. Urge you to encourage your pastors, your Sunday school teachers, Christian friends and relatives to stand with the nation of Israel. We're going to talk about why I stand with Israel. Why do you stand with Israel? We face the issues. We do so based on the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the truth book. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be expressly true today. Although, based on the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines his or her own truth. Perhaps that's the reason you see in the streets, in the hallways, in the corridors, the campuses of the prestigious universities in America today, those that have been brainwashed by socialist, Marxist, communist professors in these institutes of higher learning for the past 50-plus years. Perhaps that's the reason you see the streets fill with these brainwashed airheads that's standing with Hamas, the group that's responsible for slaughtering women and children, beheading 40 babies in a nursery, entering into Jerusalem. Maybe that's the reason we see. In fact, one of the statistics of those that are out there in the streets around the globe, not only in America, but around the globe, they're in that millennial age group. And it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Have we lost the centrality of truth? One of the statements by DeMint was this: truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement that I want us to cling on to. Jan Hus says, faithful Christian, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge to you each and every day. May we seek the truth. You won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth on the Public Broadcasting Network. You won't find truth listening to CBS, NBC, ABC, etc., etc. But we need to seek the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, love the truth, tell it and defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with the homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators, and they have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. toolforatime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take our first caller, let me read you just a blurb of a headline that says, "Why I stand with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people." Pull the camera back on what is happening in Israel. This is not about Palestine or the Palestinian people. This is even bigger than Hamas and Israel. Subtitle in it, the article says, "Jewish hate and God's intervention throughout history." Goes back centuries. Egypt wanted to destroy the Jewish people when Pharaoh gave the orders to murder the Jewish baby boys, Exodus chapter 1. Ancient Persia, today's Iran, wanted to eradicate the Jews through the wicked plot of Haman, Esther chapter 3. Adolf Hitler, his final solution was to destroy the Jewish people and ultimately murdered over 6 million of them in the Holocaust. But God intervened. Now we have Hamas committing murders, unthinkable atrocities toward the Jewish women, children, even babies in Israel. It's pure evil, but God always intervenes. He raised up Moses to deliver the Jews from Pharaoh in Egypt. He raised up Queen Esther to use her influence to save her fellow Jews from the plot to destroy them. After the Holocaust, God raised up the Jews themselves to return to their homeland and became a nation again on May 14, 1948. Why this hatred for the Jewish people? Satan hates what God loves. God loves and chose the Jewish people as his very own. Why? God himself gives us the answer. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than all other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you and was keeping his oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you from such strong hand of your slavery, from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh the king. That's in Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 8. It's a new translation, but it's very clear in the fluent statement as to what is taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, we find about 1.5 billion Islamic people across the world that hates the Jewish people. It gets down to the bottom line. We must ask why? What's the motivation? What's the end result? What do they hope to gain? I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, give me the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, I think it's pretty simple that the Muslims believe that they get a better place in heaven and they're honoring Allah. And if you kill a Jew, you become a martyr. So they have an incentive for doing that. And I guess they really believe that, you know, they will look good in front of Allah if they kill people, if they kill Jews.
Bob, you're exactly right. In Islam theology, if you please, I hate to use that term. Theos means God. Ology is the study of, and it's not the study of God as I see it, but they call it the Islamic theology. They believe that if they are killed, become a martyr in the murdering of Jewish people, that Allah will put them in paradise with 72 virgins for eternity. Well, I've got news for them. Those, for example, that flew planes into the Twin Towers. It's not jet fuel that's still burning. It's that place called hell that's still burning. They discover there's not 72 virgins that are waiting on them in paradise. It is hell that awaits them. But Bob, there's a underpinning mindset and motivation. You understand, and I'm sure you know, that in the madrasa schools where Islamic theology is taught, where they are brainwashed to hate the Jews, where kids grow up, young toddlers, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they're taught how to carry a weapon. And even in their comic books, the comic strips and the comic books teach them, there's a Jew, shoot him, there's a Jew, kill him, etc. What is the motivation of that?
Well, like we said, the motivation for doing that is to gain favor with Allah. I mean, we all know that Christianity is the only quote-unquote religion that God is already, you know, pleased with us, and we don't have to do anything to please him. We just have to believe. So every other religion, you have to do something to please their God, but not Christianity.
Bob, you're so right on target. In Christianity, Messiah died for us. In Islam, the martyr has to die for the Messiah, and that is their Messiah looked at as Allah, which is a fake god. Allah was the moon god of the Bedouins of that era, and it was Muhammad that picked up the worship of Allah, the moon god, and it's carried on in the centuries since then. Bob, you're exactly right. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What do you think about these that are in the streets that are parading in front of Harvard University, Harvard staff, Harvard and Columbia University, and the other, in fact, just about every major prestigious university in America, their faculty, their staff, their leadership, all praising the bravery of Hamas. What do you say to that? How should we respond to that? How should we view that? What causes it?
Well, I think pretty soon the whole world's going to be like that during the tribulation period. So it shouldn't be that unusual to us.
Well, I find it frightening to a degree to see these academic institutions. And by the way, all of our academic institutions are failing academically. You have Harvard University putting out credentials and degrees in subjects that have no earthly value, but yet moms and dads and grandparents are spending hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of dollars annually to put these kids and grandkids, et cetera, in what they view a prestigious school. I think it's time we shut down these centers for brainwashing and for changing the hearts and the lives of the kids that go there, and training them to be little Marxist, socialist, communist in the world. Our universities today are training Marxists rather than academia going forth. And I'll talk about that further in today's broadcast. But Bob, you're exactly right. The only thing that we can do is keep looking up the realization and the recognition that what we see right now, what we're witnessing today, some of the things that the scripture already tells us shall take place in the last days. We're in the last of the last days, and we find in the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, behold, second verse, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut into pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered together against it. And that's what we see cumulatively taking place in the world today. Bob, thank you so much for your call, for your input. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. We're talking about standing with Israel. Do you stand with Israel? How do you indicate that? What are you doing? How do you respond to your friends, relatives, and neighbors that are rejoicing with what Hamas is doing? How do you stand with those that say we need to have mass genocide and wipe out all of those in the Middle East that stand against the Jewish people? There's a pro and a con to that statement and to that question. May I say to you, we need to understand the scripture is very, very clear. Jesus speaking in Matthew the 12th chapter, the 25th verse, Jesus knew the thoughts of the people around about him. And he made the statement in Matthew 25 and verse 12. And if I can find that for just a quick moment, Matthew 12, verse 25, Jesus made this statement. And Jesus knew their hearts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We're watching today where our nation is divided. Our homes are divided. Our nation's divided. Our peoples are divided. And Jesus Christ himself, God incarnate, said that a home divided, a nation divided, cannot stand. That's the horror that I see. That's the harm that I see taking place when you see these airheads, these brainwashed kids in these prestigious universities, all out in great number, demonstrating against America and chanting death to Israel. May I say to you, I believe it's time we recognize the danger in the era in which we're living. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, happy, what is today? Happy Wednesday.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
So let's see. Obviously, I believe that our thoughts come from a spiritual part of us, and that we are seeing the manifestation of the choice between good and evil in everything and in every area of our life right now. And wasn't it the people of Israel, wasn't it God called them Judah and then changed and said, I will call you Israel? So that Israel, the people, the Jewish, actually are God's children. That he picked the Jewish people to be his people. And then through Paul, we were able to, as Gentiles, accept Christ as our Savior, and like, especially since Jesus came, that type of a thing. So it's a, it all comes back from Ishmael wasn't supposed to be, well, I guess maybe he was because he was born, but it's Abraham and Sarah went outside of God's will and tried to, as man does, always try and control things and not allow God to work. And so it ended up, Ishmael, I believe, is where the Palestinians came from. And it's an infamous battle. And what I think it is it's the manifestation of evil versus good. Why would all of these people hate Israel? Well, they hate God is what they're really doing. And they're kind of taking it out on the Israeli people because they know deep down inside that Israel is God's people.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's said in the scripture, in the Genesis text, reminds us, I believe it's in the 15th chapter, that Ishmael and his seed would be innumerable, and that he would be a wild man, and his hand would be against all men, and all men will be against him. We're seeing that manifestation today. And as you said, it was Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac was the promised inheritor of the land, and Ishmael was the one that, as you said, Abraham and Sarah decided, we're going to get ahead of God. We're not going to wait on God. God's promised us a son. We're going to have a son. And so Ishmael was born. And as a result of that, we're finding the 4,000-year war between two brothers is the end result.
Yep.
The Isaac being the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy of all of the Jewish people, and Ishmael, the great-great-great-great-granddaddy of all of the Islamic people. And so that war continues. But there's a fundamental, basic, bottom-line ideology. And that is, as one caller said, we find that the Islamic people today believe that if you kill a Jew, if you're martyred, if you killed yourself in that martyrdom, then you're going to immediately go to paradise. Allah has promised you that. And there'll be 72 virgins for all of eternity. Well, that is a lie, a demonic lie. So what we're finding is, in fact, a demonic deception that permeates the hearts and the minds of the Islamic people. But when it comes down to the colleges, and universities, what do you think needs to be done with Harvard University, with Columbia University, with the other major universities that's allowing this, Berkeley, and this that has taken place? In fact, one of the Berkeley professors said that he was just thrilled when he saw what Hamas had done to the Jews. How should we take that as Christians, conservatives, patriots, and Americans today?
Well, it kind of shows how we have evolved in actually all aspects. It can be all kinds of things, political. It can be state attorneys. It can be institutions as far as educational institutions, our medical profession. It's permeated, the evil part has permeated everywhere. Why couldn't we wait a second. Those original universities were places like seminaries type of a thing back when they were started. And it's kind of interesting how it's evolved from that type of a Christian foundation to where now they're proliferating their evil and that they are their own gods, that type of a thing. So it's going way askew from what it was originally designed for, with Harvard and Princeton and Yale all of those colleges were basically, they were Christian-type colleges, preparing people. They were seminary, that type of a thing. So they would have to be a cleansing in order for it to change, because it's so widespread. It would have to be a God spiritual thing for that to turn around. And thank you for what you do, Dr. Youngblood.
Well, thank you so much for your call and for your input. One of the things that we need to understand, what is happening with Harvard now, some of the mega deep-pocketed, mega billionaire donors have started withdrawing their contributions, started withdrawing their donations, and several have sent major letters to Harvard stating that they will not donate another dime, that they're withdrawing their pledges, and that they will not continue to support Harvard. I'm looking at a headline. Harvard gets more bad news as another billionaire cuts ties over the pro-Hamas remarks, following Harvard's initial failure to condemn a statement from student groups blaming Israel for Hamas terror attack. Another billionaire has cut the ties. The article's dated October the 17th. The Wexner Foundation, a nonprofit foundation funded by billionaire Leslie Wexner and his wife Abigail, have broken ties with Harvard University over the school's response to the Hamas terror attacks against Israelis and the anti-Israel statement issued by student groups. Quote, "We are stunned and sickened at the dismal failure of Harvard's leadership to take a clear and unequivocal stand against the barbaric murders of innocent Israeli citizens by terrorists last Saturday." End quote. The Wexner Foundation's leadership wrote the letter to the Harvard Board of Overseers on October 16th letter. Abigail and Leslie Wexner, whose fortune, according to Forbes magazine, is estimated to be about $6 billion, were among the signatories on the letter. The couple expressed their disappointment with Harvard's failure to condemn a shocking statement issued by 32 of the student groups that say Israel is entirely responsible for the violent attacks carried out on October the 7th by the Hamas terrorists. Further, the article states, "Unfortunately," this is the letter that was sent to Harvard, "unfortunately, our faith in the university's leadership has been broken, and we cannot in good faith continue to support in any fashion Harvard or any of its committees," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today standing with Israel. Why do you stand with it? Do you stand with Israel? If not, why not? If so, why? What is your position on it? What do you think pastors need to do in our churches? Do pastors need to take a public stand and stand with Israel? Do pastors need to take a public stand and warn the congregants as to what is happening? What's the really underlying thing that's taking place in Israel? I think so. I think it's time we stop the silence. I think it's time that we begin to speak out. In fact, as one writer put it so succinctly, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And I believe we're witnessing evil today and across our nation. I believe it's time churches stand up, speak up, and be heard and be seen. I think it's time Christians are willing to, having done all, Ephesians 6:13, having done all, stand. That means we don't bow, we don't bend, we don't run, we don't fold up our tents and go home. We don't remain in silence. We stand for truth, even if it means defending truth to our death. I'm concerned with where we are. Jess Sekulow and the ACLU chief counsel says this, "The heartbreak and devastation are unimaginable. The evil Hamas has unleashed on innocent Israeli citizens is unspeakable. The images are unbearable. Women and children have been taken hostage by terrorists who will not hesitate to use them as human shields as thousands of jihadist rockets rain down over Israel. The bloodthirsty terrorist goal is clear, inflicting the largest number of civilian deaths possible to turn the world's support against Israel. It is the very essence of evil itself." Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue our conversation today about standing with Israel. We're going to take about a one-minute top-of-the-hour news break. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Israel says it has drone video and other evidence proving it was a terrorist missile that leveled a hospital in Gaza. Hamas has blamed Israel for the attack. Meanwhile, President Biden arrived in Israel earlier today. He's been holding talks with Israeli officials and says that he believes Israel's account of what happened at the hospital based on evidence that he has seen. The House of Representatives is still without a Speaker of the House. Yesterday's first round of voting, Congressman Jim Jordan fell short in his bid for the speakership job, but he's not throwing in the towel. Another vote is planned for today in the House. 20 Republicans yesterday refused to support Jordan. In the meantime, all House business still on hold. On Wall Street, the Dow down 163 points. The NASDAQ is off 88 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has been training God's servants since 1982. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview today. Please leave your contact info for the admission staff to reach out to you. Courses can be taken on campus, online, or distant personalized education. Partial scholarships are available. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info today for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about standing with Israel, standing with the people of Israel. Why should we do so? Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and following, the scripture says, "Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." The third verse of Genesis 12 says this, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Ladies and gentlemen, God's word says that if we bless Israel, if we stand with Israel, God's going to bless us as a people, as a nation. I don't agree with Joe Biden and 99.99% of what he does, but I agree with thus far with his stand publicly. He may have other ulterior motives. He may be behind the scenes wagging his tongue to Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian jihadist that is there in Israel. But on the front cover, he is saying that I stand with Israel. He's saying that America stands with Israel. We've got two battleships in the port there, in the Mediterranean Sea, right outside the borders of Israel. In the preparation, in fact, looking at one headline, Hamas kills Palestinian civilians trying to flee and will not let Americans leave. Another headline. Top U.S. general warns Iran not to get involved in the Israeli crisis. Headline. Hamas chieftain. Terrorists have just one no. No to the existence of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, Hamas headline says, Hamas terrorist leader calls for Muslims uprising everywhere. And we're finding that taking place today. In fact, it was Franklin Graham in a major article just a few days ago said the real plan of Hamas, kill every Jew and every Christian on the face of the earth. The article reads, the Christian evangelist Franklin Graham is warning Jews and Christians around the globe to be aware of the real plan of Hamas. That plan is to kill every Jew and every Christian on the earth. The warning comes just days after Hamas terrorists attacked innocent civilians in Israel, the villages, etc., etc. This article further states a claim by one of the Islamic leaders. Quote, when we speak about the Army of Jerusalem, the battle of the promise of the hereafter, we're not talking about liberating our land alone. We believe in our prophet, believe in what our prophet Muhammad said. And then they give a quote that's attributed to Muhammad. They say this, Allah drew the ends of the world near one another for my sake. Keep in mind, this is supposedly a quote from Muhammad. By the way, Muhammad was totally illiterate. He could not read. He could not write. So anything they say that Muhammad supposedly said was then supposedly written down by some writer and then published to be from Muhammad. Muhammad couldn't read or write. Dumb as a rock. Read again. This is supposedly a quote from Muhammad. Allah drew the ends of the world near one another for my sake, and I have seen it, eastern and western ends. The domination of my nation would reach those ends that have never been near. The entire 500 million square kilometers of planet Earth will come under my leadership, where there is no injustice, no opposition, no treachery, no Zionism, no treacherous Christianity, no killings of crimes, killings and crimes like those being committed against the Palestinians and against the Arabs and all the Arab countries in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and other countries, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the mindset is in the hearts of the Islamic terrorist that they're pleasing Allah, the Bedouin moon god of that era, that somehow, some way, killing the Jewish people will appease Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that what we're seeing taking place today is part of the end time prophetic fact of Scripture. God's word is very, very clear that God's going to bless the nations that bless Israel. He's going to curse the nations that curse Israel. But I'm distressed. I'm bothered, ladies and gentlemen, very, very clearly, when I see the distressing activities across America, when we see the huge crowds calling Israel the evil, wicked little Satan, and America the big Satan. When we see the college campuses where they're standing for the Islamic jihadists, like Harvard University and the faculty and staff of Harvard. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem with Harvard and others like that is for the past 50-plus years, we've endured, we've put up with, we've allowed the socialist, Marxist, communist professors to lead in the education of our kids. Did you realize that, academically speaking, America's almost the lowest on the totem pole? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the PhDs coming out of Harvard and most of the prestigious universities are not worth the paper they're written on from the standpoint of academic ability? They're credentials, degrees, and nomenclatures that have no relevance to anything that's called real in society today. But yet we find in our schools, not just the universities and the colleges, but in our schools, we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, the push to eradicate anything that's called spirituality, anything that's called Christianity. We need to realize that we're rapidly becoming a post-Christian generation. Looking at a headline, school orders teacher to remove the Bible and Bible verses and the cross from the classroom. a teacher in Indiana was ordered to remove a Bible verse and a Latin cross from her classroom after a concerned parent complained. The unnamed English teacher at Honey Creek Middle School had a cross displayed in her classroom. There was also a passage of scripture from the Old Testament out of the book of Jeremiah, which read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future," the verse read. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation complained, and the teacher was ordered by the superintendent of schools to remove the cross, remove the Bible from the classroom. And yet we have those ladies and gentlemen today that standing up for the Islamic jihadists across the nation, applauding the murder, the barbaric schemes that's carried out by Hamas and now Hezbollah coming into the picture. How do you stand? Do you stand with Israel? Why should we stand with Israel? I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go with your question or comment, please.
You've covered a lot of territory. The reality is, you know, what you've just done is a microaggression, I think. Maybe it's a straight-out aggression. I don't know. You know, these leftists on the campuses today, these college campuses, they'll say if you don't identify somebody by their preferred pronoun, you know, that's a microaggression. And if you basically, if you don't bow to all their whims, you know, those are either microaggressions or straight aggressions. These are individuals that for decades scream tolerance, 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 and as soon as they get some modicum of power, they're the most intolerant people on the face of the planet. That's the same as, you know, they're very much in the category of Islamist in general. Those, you know, fundamentalist Islamists will scream tolerance until they have power, and then they're happy to behead or to stone or to hang or to throw off buildings anyone that they do not perceive are fundamentalist Islamist and acolytes or adherents to their faith. Now, it's interesting to note that, you know, this battle is over land. It's a family battle. This is a battle that goes back 3,800 or 4,000 years, time of Abraham, and the promise that was made to Abraham and his seed, and particularly to Isaac. Because, you know, the break begins with Isaac and Ishmael, and it continues with Jacob and Esau. The sons of Ishmael and the sons of Esau are the individuals who today are your Arab nations that have contempt for the Hebrew people, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And we'll not fix this battle. We'll not fix this contempt that's there. It will go on to the very end. And God will fix it with the sword of his mouth as he returns in that second advent. And his foot touches down on top of the Mount of Olives, and he goes, I would imagine, straight across that Temple Mount and northward into the Valley of Jezreel as he does business with the nations arrayed against Israel in that last great battle. The reality is, though, over and over you'll find the words land and forever, an everlasting covenant with the children of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. You know, you have a passage where Ishmael is promised that a great people, 12 dukes, 12 princes would rise from his line, and they did. And the nations in that region that are Arab nations, many of them are named after those dukes, those princes that arose through the line of Ishmael. But there's no commitment to that promised land, that Canaan land, that great nation of Israel, that great land of Israel, from the Euphrates to the great river of Egypt, the river Nile. Now understand, they don't possess all of that land today, but that was the promise. That was the commitment.
Absolutely. They've never possessed the land. In fact, they came into the land. God told them when you enter the promised land to slay, kill, destroy the Jebusites, the Canaanites, all of the Ites. They came into the land and they were willing to cooperate with them and started intermarrying. And so what we find today is, in part, God's judgment on a nation, i.e. the Israeli people, God's judgment on Israel, the Jewish people, because of disobeying his directive when they entered the promised land. Greg? Glad you could join me today on broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven, I call Tennessee. And Greg, I'm thankful that you're available to talk. I want to switch gears for just a minute. I'm looking at a headline, Harvard Divinity School publication, The Hidden Imam and the End of Time, a primer for the Mahdi, Islamic Theology, and Global Politics. Now, this is a book that the Harvard University Press has published about Islam and their political agenda. I'm going to read an abstract from the book. For hundreds of millions of Muslims around the world, including the West, in the West, the hidden imam is at the heart of Islam. While those with some background in the study of the faith may have heard of this belief, its core centrality in the Islamic tradition is generally not recognized or properly understood. To address the gap in knowledge on this issue, the Project of Shiism and Global Affairs at Harvard University Weatherhead Center has produced the present report entitled, The Hidden Imam and the End Time, a primer on the Mahdi, Islamic Theology, and Global Politics. Further in the statement, it talks about the hidden imam. And I'm going to make five statements that's here with the Harvard University Press. Who is the hidden imam? Do the Sunni Muslims also believe in the hidden imam? Why is the hidden imam considered central to Islam and Muslims around the world? How does the belief in the hidden imam impact Muslim social, political, and religious life and their affairs? End quote. Greg, are you familiar with the hidden imam or the hidden Mahdi, as it is, he is called? What is the essence of that? And do you find this to be, as I believe, the root fundamental cause of the murderous demonic mindset of the Muslims around the world? I know that's a big question. Pick it apart for me, if you would.
Well, referencing Muhammad al-Mahdi, the 12th Imam, this is eschatologically in the Quran, and I believe writings in the Hadith as well, point to this coming leader, this kind of messianic leader for Islam, this kind of final judging leader for. This is the Antichrist, folks. I mean, for every writing in the Scripture, a counterfeit, it seems like, has been produced by Satan himself. Throughout the Scripture, you have promises and commitments, and throughout the Quran, you have promises and commitments. And it's amazing how even the promise of the land is clear in the Scripture over and over and over to Abraham, to Isaac, to the seed of Jacob. And that commitment is from God, and it is forever. Well, if you go to the Quran, you find similar promises to the sons of Ishmael for the land forever. Understand the counterfeit that's there? You know, 600 years post-scripture, these things start rolling out. And interestingly, this is something that I believe every believer ought to understand. When there's confusion on, you know, where's the authoritative scripture? You know, Paul wrote, because there was confusion at the church of Galatia. And in Galatians 1, verse 9, he says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that I have preached, than that you have received, sorry, let him be accursed. Now when I say that, understand, supposedly, Muhammad was receiving these messages that we find in the Quran from an angel. He says Gabriel. I believe he was meeting with an angelic force, a fallen angelic force, a demonic force. Understand, though, Paul forewarned us, if you get a message from any other person that's contrary to what you know here, let that man be accursed. That's what's going on. There's a counterfeit out there. And there's a billion two or a billion four, billion six that have latched onto that counterfeit. And that's the point of dissent, the point of contention, the point that will take us all the way to these eschatological times, these last days, these last of the last days, where that Muhammad al-Mahdi, the 12th Imam, will rise, and every believer, you know, of course, believers will be lifted out. We may very well see him, though. In those last moments, we may point to the man and say, that's him. that's him. They will point to him and say, you know, it's their Messiah. It's their Muhammad al-Mahdi. It is their 12th Imam. And for every believer that knows the scripture, we'll say, that's the Antichrist. Do you see
Absolutely. Absolutely. Greg, I'm looking at an article, mega major multi-page article, giving great detail about the Muhammad al-Mahdi. And for those that may not be aware of it, when the 11th Imam died, immediately following that, his spokesperson claimed that he had an infant son named Muhammad who was kept hidden from the public out of fear of persecution. And he goes on to talk about supposedly that son, al-Mahdi, Muhammad al-Mahdi, really is the name given, is called the 12th Imam. He's supposedly alive and was hidden, but will not manifest himself. Allah will not manifest or bring forth this 12th Imam, this hidden Imam, this Muhammad al-Mahdi, until the whole world is in chaos and tumultuous confusion. The Islamic mind, and it's being promulgated by the Imams in the mosque around the globe, they're teaching, in fact, another little statistical data, 88%, I'm told, 88% of the Muslims around the globe cannot read, cannot write. They just believe what the Imams tell them in the mosque. And the Muslims are told around the globe that this 12th Imam will not appear, that Allah will not make him manifest until the Islamic world has brought chaos and confusion and tumult on the globe. And then this Muhammad al-Mahdi will appear and will be the deliverer, the Messiah for the Islamic people. In fact, it is believed that the Muhammad al-Mahdi, when he appears, when he shows up on earth, he'll bring about peace on earth. But not only that, but he will return and Jesus Christ will return and the two will join together, Jesus with the Muhammad al-Mahdi, to convert the whole world to Islam and bring about peace. Now that's the mindset. So therefore we find the Islamic jihadists today believing theologically, doctrinally, religiously that they are honoring Allah when they commit the murder and the atrocities around the globe against Jewish people and Christian people. Greg, I'll read a couple of surahs from my Quran, and then you respond for summarization for our listeners. Surah 2191, and kill them, all non-believers, wherever you find them, kill them, such as the recompense of the disbelievers, non-Muslims. Surah 2193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 2216, jihad, that's holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for every Muslim. So people will say today that jihad is just the inner struggle. No, it's not. The Islamic scholars in the Noble Quran say that it is the holy war to destroy non-Muslims. Here's two others in Surah 4:141. The non-Muslims are ever unto you an open enemy. Surah 4:102, Allah has prepared humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. And I could go on and on and on directly from the pages of the Quran in relationship to the heart of the Muslims. So with that being said, Greg, question two or three lumped into one, and you take it from there. How should we stand with Israel? What should Christians do? Should we be silent, say, Lord, I stand with Israel? Should we publicly stand with Israel? What should the Christians do? What should churches do? What should conservatives do? How should we respond to this tragedy with the war in the Middle East?
Yes, we should pray for the peace of Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, and continue to see God's word as absolutely true. I think a lot of things are transpiring right now that should cause a believer to be excited for what's next. I believe we get lifted out very soon, mm-hmm. But it should also cause the believer to fulfill the challenges that Jesus laid out before his parting, and the one being the Great Commission, realizing that the days are short, the time is short, and folks need to come to know Jesus, and. Yeah, not not to be fearful. Now, keep in mind that there's a mosque, a shrine in Iran where they've just raised this black flag and some pronouncements, a tweet has rolled out or something on Facebook, one of the social media accounts. The claim within Islam is that this is the mosque, this is the area that al-Mahdi will come from, that 12th Imam will come from. By the way, side note, the argument between Shia Muslim, Shia Islam, and Sunni Islam is what part of the family this 12th Imam is going to come from. You know, the Shia and the Sunnis have been fighting for hundreds of years, chaos for hundreds of years, because one side of the family says, we're going to be the head of the snake, I'm sorry, the head of Islam, and the other says that they're going to be. And that's why the discontent. The mainstream media has not a clue. They're willfully ignorant of the biblical promises, the prophecies, and things. If these things were written down by Nostradamus every single day, you would have another verse in Scripture, another passage of Scripture on the media, on mainstream media. It wouldn't be Scripture. It would be some quatrain. You know, this part of this quatrain, this verse says this, and look at what's just happened. But because it's in the Scripture, they'll not touch it. But the Christian has every reason in the world to be excited today and faithful today, knowing that Jesus' return is imminent.
Absolutely. Greg, this is the reason it should concern every Christian and every church and every pastor. Headline says, Hamas terrorist leader calls for Muslim uprising everywhere. That's called a fatwa. That is a kill order, and that's been ordered for Muslims around the globe. FBI is on high alert. FBI has notified law enforcement across America to be on high alert. Notices have gone out warning Americans not to go to Israel, warning Americans to be careful with your surroundings and where you are. So I believe it's going to cause a lot of Americans to be fearful. And yet in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the scripture says that God's not given us the spirit of fear. And so we need to be concerned, but not overly concerned. As I have said so many times, as Christians, we need to recognize that we must stand with Israel, honor God, honor our American foundations, and we must not be silent. I'll quote again, the one that wrote it cannot tell you, said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. So we need to speak up, be heard, be seen, and not be silent. And one more statement, Greg, and I'll let you wrap us up. We got about a minute. And the article about the Muhammad al-Mahdi says, God has granted him permission to manifest himself again only when the earth will be filled with tyranny. Only when the earth will be filled with tyranny. So therefore we find that what is taking place is the mindset with the Islamic jihadist, if you please, leadership in the mosque. They're ginning up the concern for the Islamics that we need to have this tyranny in the world in order to have our Messiah come. But as you so clearly stated, when their Messiah comes, according to my Bible, in Daniel chapter 11, he will be a Sodomite Islamic Antichrist, according to Revelation 13, that will lead the whole world. They're looking for the wrong Messiah. Wrap us up and challenge our listeners. We got about 30 seconds.
Well, that quote, silence in the face of evil is evil itself, that's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's going back to the days of Adolf Hitler. We're reliving kind of the days of Adolf Hitler today. But as things are devastating, as things are dark, it's gloriously dark, you know, the light cometh in the morning. Jesus is returning soon, and this world is not falling apart. It's falling in place for his return. Mm-hmm. And let us be found faithful.
Amen. Glenn, Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 90.